Hi, just before you listen to your 3CR podcast, a quick message. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. By becoming a regular donor, you can help us stay resilient and radical. Will you help 3CR by becoming a regular donor today? Together, we can keep independent voices on air. Go to 3cr.org.au. Thanks for listening and enjoy your podcast.
Good morning. You're listening to Out of the Blue on 3CR Community Radio. This is Mimi and Lauren, and we're joining you today from Wurundjeri country. We'd like to pay our respects to elders past and present and recognise the traditional custodians' ongoing care for this country, including Sea Country, for tens of thousands of years. Sovereignty was never ceded. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
So on today's show, we're chatting with Brian Robinson about his current exhibition, Erwei, Incoming Tide, at the Australian National Maritime Museum in Sydney. Brian Robinson is of the Kalalago Ya and Wutathi language groups of Zenathkes, or the Torres Strait. Born on Wyben, also known as Thursday Island, and now based in Cairns, Brian is known for his printmaking and public sculptures, where he uses a whole variety of techniques to produce really bold, innovative, and distinctive works. And by the way, as a fun fact, if you listen out, you might be able to hear his birds chirping in the background. Here's Brian.
Hi, Brian. It's really exciting to have you on Out of the Blue today. I'd love for you to introduce yourself and maybe tell us a bit about who you are and your arts practice.
Okay. Now, how long do we have? Hi, everyone. My name's Brian Robinson. I'm a visual artist with ties back to the Mullaligal people from the Western Islands of Torres Strait, the Wutathi people from the silicon sand dunes at Shelburne Bay on the eastern side of Cape York Peninsula, a Dayak man from the village of Sarawak, Malay state on Borneo. I've got Philippine connections through the Villafor family, Robinson through England, and the Salmon family of Scotland. So I'm a bit of a mixed bag, you know, in terms of bloodlines and what I draw from, you know, as my inspiration for the artworks that I create. So I'm an artist that, you know, I dabble in printmaking, sculpture, drawing, public art. I've also got a curatorial background as well. Spent 14 years working in mainly the Cairns Regional Gallery as a curator, so I bring all of that sort of knowledge to my practice and how I develop my work and my exhibitions as well. So that's me in a nutshell, really.
So you grew up in Wyben Island, also known as Thursday Island in the Torres Strait.
Correct.
Yeah, and that obviously informs a large part of your arts practice. Could you tell me about your experience growing up on the island and how that's influenced your arts practice?
I was probably a bit of an unruly kid with not too many boundaries, and that's why I went into, you know, visual arts, because it offered me, you know, no boundaries. Which is, you know, I suppose very similar to, you know, growing up on a small island, you know, so you're left to your own devices, really, to, you know, make your own fun and, you know, explore. And so that's what I did. I spent a lot of time, you know, sort of both drawing as well as playing basketball. But, you know, sort of drawing for me, I could sit down at, you know, the kitchen room table for hours on end, just drawing from memory, drawing from, books around the house, anything from, sort of your good old comic book to, the Mad magazines to, Women's Weekly, whatever was around the house, I would, use as a as inspiration to draw from. And not only that, I'd spend quite a bit of time either sitting down at the wharf, up on one of the hills on Woburn, and also sketching from sketching landscape. So that's yeah, that's what I did, sort of growing up. But there was that aspect of it, but there was also the aspect where you connect strongly with family, who teach you culture. And so, there was, yeah, there was all of that. So I spent, a lot of time, talking, with my uncles, fishing with my late grandfather, and yeah, fishing, diving, hunting for dugong, for turtle, just everything that the island had to offer, basically. Everyone, sort of partook in, yeah, each and every little aspect of life that is sort of thrown at you. Living in a remote community in the Torres Strait, a small island surrounded by a lot of water.
And I read that your family, you come from family of fisher folk. And if
Correct.
that's, oh, so it is true, cool. And do you think that's
Yeah,
given you like a deeper connection to the ocean?
it has actually. Both sitting in, dinghies, sort of going across oceans, and sort of casting out the net to, sort of catch sardine, and throwing in a line to catch some fish, as well as diving. And oh, I think you become more comfortable, I suppose, with water, once you know what's under the water, or in the water itself. So that appreciation for diving, sort of it really, or that experience really opened up, a new sort of realm, for me as well. Just experiencing, that underwater world, and sort of interacting with the marine life that live in that world. It's yeah, it was amazing.
That's so special. So can you tell us a bit about your current exhibition, Ōrawai: Incoming Tide, at the Australian National Maritime Museum?
Okay, well, I suppose, the exhibition itself, as you've mentioned, is called Uruwai, which is traditional language words from Kalalagoya, which is the traditional Western Island language of Torres Strait. And it means, incoming tide. So it fits perfectly with the Australian National Maritime Museum and, their core business of, everything, sort of in the marine, sort of realm. So the exhibition, sort of comprises prints, sculptural work, animation, and installation. But it's not only just works that are based on water themes. There's also a number of works that are based on constellations, because the stars is an important aspect of, traditional Torres Strait culture. Knowing the stars, how to read the stars, and knowing what activity happens in the islands once certain star clusters are seen. So it's the culture really, sort of starts off with the cosmos, and then those stories and those activities then filter down into the land. So it's sort of reading the stars and knowing what to do and when to do it, basically.
And your work also combines traditional mark makings and patterns with what you said before about your references to pop culture, television, comic books, and other publications like Women's Weekly. I'm really interested in how you bring together that mix of traditional knowledge and history along with contemporary pop culture. And so, in that big question, I guess, what first inspired you to weave both of those into your work?
I suppose I'm not your typical Indigenous artist, I suppose. I absorb, like everyone else, like all other visual artists, I absorb, everything that I sort of see, taste, and touch, basically, and it becomes a part of my visual, sort of vocabulary, I suppose. And it informed, the works that I create. But even though, I grew up on a small island surrounded by, sort of water, I was still heavily influenced by television, particularly, sort of cartoons, movies such as, sort of Star Wars and Star Trek, Doctor Who. And it's all of those memories about, sort of growing up in the islands with both that aspect of, sort of technology and pop culture combined with traditional, sort of heritage and stories. It's all of that, that is mixed together to produce particularly the lino cut prints that I create today that I'm probably more known for. My grandfather, my late grandfather, loved Phantom comic. The crime fighting, sort of hero who wore purple spandex, and a bit of a mask. And so, that was my introduction into, that realm of the superhero, basically. And it's grown, that interest has grown from those early days of, sort of reading those predominantly, sort of black and white illustrated, sort of comics of Phantom. And so, it's a way of me, sort of connecting to that realm, all the multiverses that, sort of branch off from, the superhero realm, but it's also a way of me connecting back to my late grandfather as well through that connection that we both have to Phantom.
That's so beautiful that I feel like you can bring these like nostalgic parts of your family and like memories and make it part of your current art practice. That's like, yeah, I love it when people do that. I think it's so special. And I've seen that your art looks very involved and precise, but then it also seems like you like to also experiment and have like yeah, this experimental nature. And I was wondering what the process is like for creating one of your pieces for your exhibition.
Well, it'll depend on, what sort of medium you're looking at the time. Say for instance, a lino cut. And I generally don't plan out, a lino cut beforehand. So I don't have any, sort of preparatory, sort of sketches that I do. I work straight on the block itself. And we'll draw, from usually from having, some weird dream at night. As you know, and that'll be the basis for, you know, the start of the block. And so I'll partially draw, you know, elements from that memory, from that dream. But through the process of drawing those elements, and it's just the way, you know, my mind is sort of wired, I then connect other ideas to like a certain character that I've drawn, a certain, you know, sort of object that I've drawn in. And so I'll go off, you know, on a bit of a tangent and start to, you know, sort of include that sort of underlying, you know, sort of story from that. And that could happen, you know, two or three more times where, you know, there's all these different tangents. And so I'll then, you know, sort of hand carve all that line work that I've drawn. And then the last element that I, you know, sort of add to those blocks is what is called mineral. Mineral is the traditional patination from the Torres Strait. So it's based on traditional mark making that would adorn usually ceremonial masks. And so over the years, you know, a number of Torres Strait printmakers have, you know, sort of used this mark making as a foundation for their print practice. So that's you know, the one of the last elements that is added. So all of this traditional pattern, but through the process of, you know, sort of creating all this pattern or hand carving all this pattern, I then look for areas where I can infuse, you know, little pop culture, you know, sort of icons through that pattern that is usually hidden at first until, you know, the viewer becomes aware of, you know, that particular pattern. And as they, you know, sort of then explore the rest of the work, they'll then notice all of these other little, you know, sort of pop culture, you know, sort of pop up right across the piece that is, you know, generally hidden in amongst all this traditional pattern. And so, you know, that's the way I, you know, sort of work a print. And the prints that I create are usually, or my go-to size is a block that is 1 meter by 2 meters. So it's a large block, but it gives me enough room to retell, you know, a story or several stories within the one piece, and not get too large or too, you know, sort of cumbersome that it takes forever to, you know, to complete. So that sort of size, you know, roughly about 35 hours of carving time. And once, you know, sort of carving is done, I then hand the block over to my printer, a gentleman by the name of Theo Tremblay, and he prints a perfect print, you know, every time.
And when people see your exhibition, when they see Oruei, Incoming Tide, what do you want them to walk away thinking, or what would you like them to walk away thinking?
You usually get these questions. You know, it's art, you know, sort of it's in the, you know, eye of the beholder. You know, people walk away with a whole host of different experiences, you know, once they, you know, sort of view certain works. You know, some will probably think, what the hell is this guy on? You know, he's on some type of trip or something. But you know, ultimately it's looking at the work, looking at the mark making, reading the stories, and coming away with, you know, an appreciation of the work that has been developed, but also a small connection to the Torres Strait and to Torres Strait culture, and how it's closely connected to the waters of the Torres Strait, because you know over the years, there hasn't been too many exhibitions that, have put, I suppose, Torres Strait culture, on the in the foreground. And this is one of those exhibitions that does that. It's about, it's about pushing, sort of the culture to the fore, and getting people to recognize the inherent differences between both Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island culture, instead of, sort of lumping us all under, into one bucket, or, putting one large umbrella, I suppose, over both cultures, where there is, significant differences between both. And both should be celebrated as, sort of as unique cultures themselves.
Yeah, I'm really actually excited to see your exhibition. I'm going up to Sydney next month. And so, yeah, I'm really excited. Last time I went to the Maritime Museum, there was a shark exhibition, and I really enjoyed that, but I think this is going to be a bit of a different pace.
Actually, there is a shark in my exhibition, but it's it references Baidang, which is the shark star. So it's one of those constellations that is visible in the night sky across Torres Strait.
Oh, I look forward to it. Thank you so much for our chat today. I really appreciate it, and it was really nice to learn more about your work, and also just about you as a person, how that connects to your art practice.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Yeah, and I'm always happy to have a chat with each and every person that takes the time to to engage with me or the work that I create.
You're listening to Out of the Blue on 3CR Community Radio. That was Torres Strait artist Brian Robinson on his current exhibition on at the Australian National Maritime Museum. If you're up in Eora country, I hope you get a chance to go and check it out. I'm really hoping I'll be able to next time I'm up there.
As always, you can find our podcast at 3cr.org.au/radioblue. And you can follow our Facebook page, Out of the Blue, for updates. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of your weekend. Bye.
Thanks for listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We rely on the financial support of listeners like yourself to keep going. Will you help 3CR by becoming a regular donor today? Together, we can keep independent voices on air. Go to 3cr.org.au, and thanks for your support.